जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय गोपी जन वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी जय वल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदानंदन ब्रज जन रंजन यमुना तीर वनचारी जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदी गो भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासदि गौर भक्तवृंद जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अधार श्रीवासदि Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Jaya Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Gaura Nitai, Sri Sri Gaura Nitai. Jaya Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Krishna Balaram, Jaya Krishna Balaram. Jaya Radha, Shama Sundaradha, Shama Sundaradhe. Jaya Jaya Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Jaya Prabhupada. Nitai Gaur Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Hari Bol, Nitai Gaur Hari Bol. विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिराजगचार्य अष्टोत्तर डिवाइन ग्रेस अभय चरणारविंद भक्ति वेदांत समिष्ट प्रभुपाद की जय। अनंत कोटि वैष्णव वृंद की जय। ग्रंथराज श्रीमद भागवतम की जय। ताय गौर प्रेमानंदे हरि। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्यं नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरयेत्। नष्टप्रायस्वभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवति उत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवति नैष्ठिकी। सो टुडे वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 10 टेक्स्ट चैप्टर 28 टेक्स्ट नंबर 12 एंड 13। या सो वी आर डिस्प्लेइंग 13 हियर। We can repeat 12th?
Okay.
Okay, let's repeat verse number 12. Iti swanam sa bhagavan vigyaya khila drik swayam sankalpa siddhayate sham kripaitat achintayat iti swanam sa bhagavan vigyaya khila drik swayam sankalpa siddhayate sham kripaitat achintayat iti swanam sa bhagavan vigyaya khila drik swayam sankalpa siddhayate sham kripaitat achintayat
Bhagavan
Iti swanam sa bhagavan
divyaya khila drik swayam sankalpa siddhayate sham kripaya achintayat iti swanam sa bhagavan
divyaya
khila drik swayam
iti swanam sa bhagavan vigyaya khila drik swayam sankalpa siddhayate sham kripaitat achint okay iti such swanam of his personal devotees saha he bhagavan the supreme personality of Godhead vigyaya understanding akhiladrik the seer of everything swayam himself sankalpa of the imagined desire siddhaye for the realization tesham there kripaya compassionately etat this achintayat thought translation because he sees everything Lord Krishna the supreme personality of Godhead automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires the Lord thought as follows the next verse janave loka etesmin avidya kama karma bhi उच्चावचासु गतिषु नावेद स्वाम गतिम भ्रमम लॉर्ड कृष्णा थॉट सर्टेनली पीपल इन दिस वर्ल्ड आर वॉन्डरिंग अमोंग हायर एंड लोअर डेस्टिनेशंस विच दे अचीव थ्रू एक्टिविटीज परफॉर्म according to their desires and without full knowledge. Thus people do not know their real destination. Purport is there? It's a long purport, so let's read. By the disciples of Srila Prabhupada, quoting various acharyas. Purport. Srila Jiva Goswami has elaborately explained how this verse applies to the eternally liberated residents of Sri Vrindavan, the Lord's abode. One of the fundamental philosophical principles of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the distinction between two types of illusion, Yogamaya and Mahamaya, the spiritual and material state of existence respectively. Although Krishna is God, the omnipotent, omniscient, supreme being, his intimate associates in the spiritual world love him so much that they see him as their beloved child, friend, lover, and so on. So that their ecstatic love can transcend the boundaries of mere reverence, they forget that Krishna is the supreme God of all the universes, and thus their pure intimate love expands unlimitedly. One may consider their activities of treating Krishna as a helpless child, a handsome boyfriend, or a playmate to be a manifestation of avidya, ignorance of Lord Krishna's position as God. But the residents of Vrindavan are in fact ignoring the secondary majesty of Krishna and focusing intensely on his infinite beauty, which is the essence of his existence. In fact, describing Lord Krishna as a supreme controller and God is almost a type of political analysis, referring as it does to a hierarchy of power and control. Such analysis of levels of power and hierarchies of rule is significant in a context in which one entity is not fully surrendered in love to a higher entity. In other words, control becomes visible or is consciously felt as control when there is resistance to that control. To cite a simple example, a pious law-abiding citizen sees a policeman as a friend and well-wisher, whereas a criminal sees him as a threatening symbol of punishment. Those who are enthusiastic about government politics feel not that the government is controlling them, but rather it is helping them. Thus, Lord Krishna is seen as controller and hence the supreme God by those who are not fully enchanted by his beauty and pastimes. Those fully in love with Lord Krishna focus on his sublime, attractive features because of the nature of the relationship with him, do not much notice his controlling power. A simple proof that the residents of Vraja have transcended lower states of God consciousness rather than fail to attain them is the fact that throughout the pastimes of the Lord, they often remember that Krishna is God. Usually, they are astonished at his remembrance, having been fully absorbed in seeing Krishna as their friend, lover, and so on. The word kama is conventionally used to indicate a material desire, or else a spiritual desire so intense that it becomes somehow analogous to intense material desires. Still, the fundamental distinction remains. Material desire is selfish and self-gratificatory. Spiritual desire is free of selfishness, being wholly for the pleasure of the other, the Lord. Thus, the residents of Vrindavan executed their daily activities solely for the pleasure of their beloved Krishna. It should be remembered that the entire purpose of Krishna's descent into this world is to attract living beings back home, back to Godhead. Two things are required for this: that his pastimes display the beauty of the spiritual perfection, and they somehow seem relevant and hence interesting to the conditioned souls of this world. The Bhagavatam often states that Lord Krishna plays just like a youthful actor, and he undoubtedly engages his eternal devotees in the dramatic presentation. Thus, Lord Krishna here muses to himself that people in this world certainly do not know their ultimate destination, and with an obvious touch of the facetious, he also thinks in this way about his own eternally liberated associates who are playing in this world like ordinary members of a cowherd village. Apart from the double meaning obviously present in this verse when it is applied to Krishna's liberated associates, Krishna here makes an entirely direct and pointedly critical observation about ordinary people. When applied to conditioned souls who are actually wandering throughout the universe, his statement that people are acting out of ignorance and lust is not mitigated by any deeper spiritual meaning. People in general are simply ignorant and thus do not seriously consider their ultimate destination. As usual, Lord Shri Krishna is able to say many profound and complex things in a few simple words. How fortunate we are that God is not a dry field of energy, a transcendent, effulgent blob, or nothing at all, as various people would have it. In fact, he is the most wonderful personality of Godhead, full of absolute personal qualities, and certainly, whatever we can do, he can do better, as evidenced by his brilliant way of speaking. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamsha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamsha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinavandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vanchakalpataru Vesha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Niti Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatadeshatarine Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gauravakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are reading this wonderful pastime. Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj. So it's a little complicated chapter in the sense that why Krishna did this pastime is a little bit difficult to understand. Even I was thinking, because just before this we have the Govardhan Leela, and after this we have, what's the next chapter? Anyone knows? 29 chapters. The highest pastime of Krishna, Rasa Leela. So 29 chapter onwards, we'll have next 3-4 chapters, the 5 chapters considered to be the heart of entire Bhagavatam, the most exalted. Of course, we are not that qualified to understand, but at least we can read whatever Srila Prabhupada's disciples have written. So we are just coming to the most beautiful and the highest 5 chapters of Srimad Bhagavatam, describing Krishna's Rasa Leela pastimes, the Gopi Geet, etc. And just before this, we have this chapter, Krishna rescuing Nanda Maharaj. So, I was just reading a little bit for the class. So, it seems that one of the reasons that Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur gives is that just like Indra committed an offense, before this chapter we read the Govardhan Leela, and he begged to Krishna and he offered beautiful prayers to Krishna. So because he was narrating that pastime, so another pastime came to his mind, similar pastime, where another demigod, Varun Dev this time, he also offended Krishna, and how he also offered prayers to Krishna and was forgiven by Krishna. So he remembered this similar pastime. So that makes little sense, yes, that when Shukdev Goswami was speaking, so he spoke about Govardhan Leela, Indra's pastimes, that how Indra committed offense, how he begged forgiveness. So similar pastime came to his mind, which is this pastime, that how Varun Dev also, you know the story, right? We have been hearing that how once Nanda Maharaj, on the day of Dwadashi, just after Ekadashi, so Prabhupada explains in the Krishna book the whole chronology, that Damodar Leela happened on the day of Deepavali, which is like the middle of Kartik month, Amavasya. And after that, the next day was Govardhan Puja. And then Bhai Dooj, you know, this is Dvitiya. And then Indra, he started the heavy rainfall and Krishna lifted Govardhan Hill for 7 days. And then Krishna kept the Govardhan Hill back. And that time also the Brajvasi started discussing among themselves. There's a chapter before this, wonderful Krishna, right? Chapter 26. Yes, wonderful Krishna. Because the Brajvasis and Nanda Maharaj, they started discussing among themselves that who is this boy, you know, this wonderful boy? I mean, is he great demigod? Is he Krishna himself? I mean, is he the Supreme Lord Narayan himself? Who is he? So they were discussing amongst themselves. And suddenly, and yeah, so the next day was Ekadashi, and the day after that, early in the morning, Nanda Maharaj was going to Yamuna to take his bath. So there are certain times, I mean, we are not supposed to take bath after sunset or before sunrise, or maybe a little bit before sunrise, but not too much before sunrise. There are some technical details. Like one should not go at 3 o'clock and take bath in Yamuna or Ganga, that's not proper. So it seems that Nanda Maharaj, he took bath at an earlier time, which was, he was not supposed to take bath at that time. So he took bath, and the servants of Varun, they captured him, they arrested him. Because Varun Dev is in charge of all the water bodies. So they captured him and took him to the abode of Varuna. And when, so Nanda Maharaj and his friends had gone to Yamuna to take bath, and Nanda Maharaj didn't come out. So naturally they got perplexed, where Nanda Maharaj has gone. So they started, and whenever devotees are in danger, what they do? They remember Krishna. So Brajvasi started chanting, "Oh Krishna, oh Ram, oh Krishna, Balaram, please save us, you know, where somebody has taken your father, he is no more here." So immediately Krishna, he understood, of course Krishna knows everything, he could understand that Varun Dev has captured Nanda Maharaj. So immediately he went to the abode of Varuna. And he went to the abode of Varuna, the planet where Varuna stays. That was so opulent, because these demigods are very powerful, like Indra's abode is very opulent. So Varuna's loka was very opulent. And when Krishna went, he saw Nanda Maharaj already seated on a nice throne. And immediately Varun Dev offered Krishna obeisances, welcomed him, offered beautiful prayers, and said, "Now my birth is successful, I could have your darshan." And really he offered various ornaments to Krishna, he worshipped Krishna. And Nanda Maharaj was sitting right there and he observed all this. And after that, and Nanda Maharaj said, "I'm really sorry. My foolish servants, they didn't know who is Nanda Maharaj, they arrested him. Please forgive me." After that, Krishna was pleased and he brought Nanda Maharaj and came back to Vrindavan again. Now, two back-to-back pastimes. Just before this was the Govardhan Leela, where Krishna lifted Govardhan for 7 days. So that also brought a little kind of, you know, some kind of doubt in the minds of Brajvasita. Who is this boy, you know? Definitely he's not some ordinary boy. And now again this another amazing pastime. So Nanda Maharaj came and spoke to his friends. "You know what? What I saw? The servants of Varun Dev had taken me to his abode. Immediately Krishna came, and the demigod, he worshipped Krishna with so much respect. That abode was so opulent." So he described all this to his friends of Brajvasis. And they again started discussing amongst themselves. And this time the doubt further increased. "No, this boy is not some ordinary boy. He must be really special. Maybe he is God himself." And then another man said that, "Well, if he is God, will he take us to his abode?" So they started discussing among themselves, you know. Some Rajvasi said, "Will he give us Brahman? I mean, will he allow us liberation, merging into Brahma Jyoti?" Some said, "Will he take us to his own abode, Vaikuntha?" So like that, they started discussing amongst themselves.
And then Krishna understood their mind. This is what the 12th verse we read today. That because he sees everything, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing. So he could understand what is going on in the minds of the devotees. So Krishna knows, you know, whatever we are thinking, Krishna knows. Therefore, you have to be very careful what we are thinking of. So even after coming in touch with this great movement, staying in temple, if you are still thinking of material facilities, wealth, women, etc., so Krishna knows what we are thinking. So we have to be careful. Maybe Krishna may fulfill those desires and we may lose the actual purpose for which we came here. So Krishna could understand the mind of his devotees, that they were thinking like this, whether they will attain, whether Krishna will take them to his abode or not. So they had some doubt. So Krishna thought, okay. So he thought, okay, let me clarify their doubt. So this 13th verse, Krishna spoke a very beautiful verse, which has double meaning. So this verse is applicable to the common men in this world. Because what Krishna is saying? That people in this world are wandering among higher and lower destinations. And they have no idea about the real destination. What is that? The spiritual world, right? People don't know this. That is where they are wandering in this world. Tasyaiva heta prayateta kovida na labhyate yad upari. That verse in 1st canto, 5th chapter, where it is said that people, they are wandering sometimes to higher planets, sometimes to lower planets. They don't know the real purpose of life. They don't work hard for that real purpose of life, how to attain the supreme destination, the spiritual world. The same thing Krishna is saying, that people don't know the real destination, and therefore Krishna wanted to show the Brajvasis the spiritual abode. So after this, Krishna takes all the Brajvasis to a special place. Anyone knows where this pastime took place, at which place? Akrura Ghat, which is very close from here. Anyone has been to Akrura Ghat? Yes, okay. Some of you. It's very close. Just maybe 4 kilometers only. You go to Atala Chungi, and then you go towards Mathura from there. Just after 1 or 2 kilometers, you can take a left and you will come to the place known as Akrura Ghat. Of course, Yamuna doesn't flow there now. Yamuna has gone a little bit far from that place. But that was the place where it's called Akrura Ghat, because when Krishna and Balaram, they went from Nandagaon to Mathura with Akrura, so Akrura stopped there. You know that pastime, right? That when Akrura went to take bath in the Yamuna, what he saw? Same Krishna Balaram he saw in the form of Vishnu and Anantasesh. So that's the same place where Akrura had darshan of Krishna in the form of Vishnu and Balaram in the form of Anantasesh. So it's called Akrura Ghat. And also at that place, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he came to Vrindavan 500 years back, he also stayed at that same place. If you read in Chaitanya Charitamrita, so first 1 month he traveled all over Vraj, all the 12 forests of Vraj, and after that he stayed at Akrura Ghat. And every day from Akrura Ghat he used to come to Vrindavan at a particular place and chant his rounds. What is that place? Imli Tala. You must have seen in the Vrindavan Parikrama Marg, there is a Gaudiya Mutt there, and Yamuna is still flowing there. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to come every day from Akrura Ghat. He used to walk. Probably he used to pass through ISKCON temple also, through our Krishna Balaram temple. So same path. So he used to walk from Akrura Ghat all the way up to Imli Tala in the Parikrama Marg. And there he used to chant his rounds from morning till afternoon. And then he used to come back to Akrura Ghat, and his servant Balabhadra Bhattacharya used to cook some prasad for him, and he used to honor that prasad. And in the afternoon he used to preach to all the people. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu showed ideal schedule for a sannyasi, that how he should absorb himself in chanting the holy names and also preach. So both things should be balanced. So that was Akrura Ghat, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu personally stayed. And you know what? Once Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also took bath at the same place, and he didn't come out, because he thought this is the same place where Krishna gave darshan of his spiritual world to all the Brajvasis. So he thought, I will also have darshan of Krishna here and the spiritual world. So he was not coming out. And his servant got very much scared. What happened to my Lord? Why is not coming out? So then he went and pulled Mahaprabhu out of River Yamuna. And then he said, my Lord, let's go from here. You know, he thought, it's very dangerous now to stay here. We don't know what Mahaprabhu will do next. So then from here, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Prayag. Allahabad, Prayag. And there he instructed Rupa Goswami at Dashashwamedha Ghat. So anyway, coming back to Akrur Ghat again, to our pastime today. So Krishna took all the Brajvasis to Akrur Ghat, the same place. It's also called Brahmarath. And made them to take bath. And when they took bath, you will see in the next verses that they had darshan of the entire spiritual world. They had darshan of the Vaikuntha Lokas, and they also had darshan of Krishna Loka. And they saw Krishna himself sitting there in Krishna Loka. And then they were absolutely convinced that yes, we'll also go there to Supreme Abode. But then they realized that this place where we are, that is not different from the place that we saw inside water. So that is another great lesson we learn from here, that actually we may think that this is an ordinary place, you know, Vrindavan from external vision, same roads, traffic and same buildings may look like ordinary place, same trees. But the Brajvasis, they also had little bit doubt like that. Where will we go after our death, or whether Krishna will take us back to the spiritual world or not. But ultimately they realized that they are already in the spiritual world. Because in the spiritual world also they saw the same Krishna and they saw themselves. So here also Krishna was there. So they realized that this Bhaumya Vrindavan is actually non-different from Golok Vrindavan. There is no difference. So this is also one lesson we get from this pastime. That sometimes, familiarity breeds contempt, or we may take this place to be ordinary. So Krishna wanted to show the glories of this Vrindavan. He wanted to show to the Brajvasis, you are already the highest people in this entire existence. You are the most fortunate. So never think of going to Vaikuntha. You are already in Krishna Loka. This place is not different from Golok Vrindavan. So that's another aspect we can say of this pastime. This glorifies Vrindavan. The opulence of Vrindavan. Now, another thing interesting is that, like we read in today's purport, beautiful purport, that the love of Brajvasis for Krishna is so special that time and again they are observing Krishna's opulence, great opulence. Like Mother Yashoda, she saw the entire universe within Krishna's mouth. Time and again they heard how Krishna killed so many great demons. They saw Krishna lifting Govardhan for 7 days. And in this pastime, they saw that they saw the entire Vaikuntha, they saw entire Golok Vrindavan, they saw that how Krishna was there. But still, the natural love for Krishna was not disturbed. That is the greatness of the Brajvasi's love for Krishna. That Krishna's opulence does not cover their love for Krishna, doesn't affect their natural, spontaneous, loving dealings with Krishna. In contrast, let us take two more examples. It's quoted in the purport. That when Arjuna, when he saw the universal form of Krishna, what happened to Arjuna? He became scared. He said, oh Krishna, I'm sorry. I sat with you on the same level. I slept with you on the same bed. I called you, oh Krishna, oh Yadav, please forgive me. You are the Supreme Lord. So immediately Arjuna's love for Krishna was overshadowed by the feelings of opulence for Krishna. But did it ever happen to Sridham or Sudham or any of the cowherd boys of Krishna? No. Although they saw this small boy lifting entire Govardhan, but still they always thought that he's our friend. They never changed their relationship with Krishna because of seeing such great opulences. But Arjuna, immediately when he saw the universal form of Krishna, his behavior changed. He again and again offered obeisances. Krishna, please forgive me. He is also pure devotee. But in comparison to the Brajvasis, they are the highest, Even Arjuna, we can say, was not at that level, But the Brajvasis, no matter how much opulence they see of Krishna, they are never shaken in their spontaneous love for Krishna. Another example. Like Mother Yashoda, when she saw the universal form inside Krishna's mouth, But after that, her dealings with Krishna didn't change. In fact, chapter 8 is Krishna showing the universal form, and chapter 9 is Mother Yashoda binding Krishna. So just before that, she saw the entire creation in Krishna's mouth. The next chapter, she goes and binds Krishna. You see? Rather, her love for Krishna increased further, you know. So that is really, we have to little bit contemplate on the greatness of the Brajvasis. That how pure the love for Krishna is, that even after Mother Yashoda saw the entire cosmos inside Krishna's mouth, but she dared to bind Krishna. Just see. But on the other hand, when Vasudev and Devaki, when Krishna went to Mathura, he killed Kamsa and he went to meet his parents started offering obeisances, "Oh Supreme Lord Krishna." So there, that maternal love, Vatsalya Prem, was not that strong as Yashoda Maiya or Nanda Maharaj. I'm sorry. Just a minute. Okay, so this is the uniqueness of the Brajvasis that we see here. A beautiful example is given in the purport, that how a thief may be afraid of the policeman, but to a law-abiding citizen, he's not afraid of the policeman. A general example is given. Just to tell us that how, if we love someone, we don't care whether he's in a position or not. Very important. That those in the Aishwarya Bhav, they worship Krishna because they know that Krishna is the Supreme Lord. That's why they're worshipping him, they're serving him. But the Brajavasis, they don't care, like Prabhupada writes, speaks in a lecture, that they don't care whether Krishna is God or not. That's secondary for them. A very important point for us to understand, because we're in Vrindavan, we should know the mood of Vrindavan. At least hear about that. So Brajavasis, they don't care whether Krishna is God or not. For them, he is their intimate friend. For the friends of Krishna, for Yashoda, he is her child. He may be God or may not be God. Doesn't matter to her. For Srimati Radharani and the gopis, he is their lover. So it's not that they're ignorant of Krishna's position. They know. But still, the love for Krishna is so great that they don't care whether Krishna is God or not. Just like, let's take the example. Sometimes, if someone becomes president of the country. But for his mother, that love will not change, right? Because for the mother, it's more important that he is her son. He may be the president or not, it doesn't matter to her so much. Similarly, for the Brajavasis, for Mother Yashoda, Nanda Maharaj, they don't care whether Krishna is God or not. Krishna is always their child, eternally. That is their feelings for Krishna. So, two consecutive pastimes, but still, their love for Krishna didn't change. Krishna lifted Govardhan for 7 days. Still, for them, Krishna was their friend, Krishna was their lover, Krishna was their child. Now, Nanda Maharaj personally saw Krishna in the abode of Varun, worshipped by so many demigods. Still, that didn't change his conception. For him, Krishna was his dear son. And when he discussed with the Brajvasis, so there was some discussion amongst them. So Krishna understood their mind, and therefore he showed this vision of spiritual world to them. Now this again intensified the love for Krishna. So no matter how many such pastimes they see Krishna's greatness or opulence, it doesn't diminish the love for Krishna. Rather, it increases the love for Krishna. That is the sweetness of Vrindavan. This is one aspect of the pastime. Second aspect, that this verse is talking about the people in general. So there are two meanings of this verse. One is for people in general in this world. Those who don't know the glories of spiritual world, they think that this world is everything. So for them, Krishna is saying that these are so foolish people, so I want to show them the spiritual world. Srila Prabhupada writes in Krishna book that Krishna is very eager to tell others about his spiritual abode. In fact, Krishna comes here to this material world. Why? To invite us all back to home, back to Godhead. That's the purpose of Krishna's coming here. So therefore, Prabhupada, I'll just read a few lines from Krishna book. Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is always eager to give information to the conditioned soul that there is a spiritual sky far, far beyond this material sky, transcendental to the innumerable universes created within the total material energy. Krishna is, of course, always very kind to every conditioned soul. But as stated in the Bhagavad Gita, is especially inclined to the pure devotees. Hearing their inquiries, Krishna immediately thought that his devotees in Vrindavan should be informed of the spiritual sky and the Vaikuntha planets therein. So, of course, he wanted to show his dear devotees that see the Vaikuntha world, see the spiritual world, don't worry, you're already there and you will go there. You're already there, that means he wanted to say that this Bhaumya Vrindavan is already Golok Vrindavan, you're already there. And don't worry, after this life, you'll again come to me in my eternal abode. And also, through this pastime, he is instructing all of us, the conditioned soul, and telling all the conditioned souls that those who worship Krishna, so for them, the destination, the supreme destination of Krishna's own spiritual planet, Golok Vrindavan, is waiting for all of us. So this is an important lesson for all of us. So there are two angles of looking at this pastime. One from the angle of the Brajvasis, why Krishna did this pastime. And another angle is for all the conditioned souls to attract all of us. Krishna wanted to personally show the spiritual world. And he is welcoming all of us that don't waste your time here in this material world. Come back to me. Come to my spiritual abode. And Srila Prabhupada writes a very interesting thing here, that whenever a mature devotee who has, Prabhupada writes, the mature devotees who have completely executed Krishna consciousness are immediately transferred to the universe where Krishna is appearing. So we don't go to Golok Vrindavan immediately. Where we'll go? First to another earthly planet where Krishna is performing his pastimes. In that universe, the devotees get their first opportunity to associate with Krishna personally and directly. The training goes on, as we see in the Vrindavan Lila of Krishna within this planet. Krishna therefore revealed the actual features of the Vaikuntha planets so that the inhabitants of Vrindavan could know their destination. So, I hope some of you may have already heard this, but some of you may not have also heard this thing, that when we give up this body, we don't go directly to spiritual world. Where do we go? To another earth. Because Krishna is performing this Bhauma Lila in all the universes, right? There are so many universes. So just like we have this earthly Vrindavan here, so in another earth, in another universe, Krishna is performing his pastimes. So first, that devotee will go to that earthly planet, that Bhaumya Vrindavan, and there he'll get the final training along with the eternally liberated devotees. So when Krishna performs his pastimes, there are two categories of devotees. So one, those who come with him from Golok Vrindavan, like Mother Yashoda, Radharani, the eternally liberated souls. And there are some who are promoted from different earthly planets to that Vrindavan, for their elevation to spiritual world. It's like a transit. And there they get the final training. Because imagine, from here somebody goes directly to Golok Vrindavan, he will not know what to do there, right? So suppose somebody's swarup is to be a cowherd boy. So he will not know how to relate to Krishna. So therefore he is sent for a final training to a earthly planet. And looking at the behavior of other cowherd boys, he gets trained in that way. Or somebody is supposed to become a gopi, so he takes birth from the womb of a gopi in Bhaumya Vrindavan. And under the care, under the direction of the eternally liberated gopis, Shrimati Radharani, Lalita, Vishakha and all the associates, that devotee gets final training. And then they go back to Golok Vrindavan. Just see, Krishna is so merciful, What a wonderful system he has designed to take us back to his spiritual world. Krishna wants all of us to, in fact, in first kind of Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada writes in one line that Krishna is more eager to take us back to his abode than we are. So Krishna is eagerly waiting when we'll come back to him. In Brihat Bhagavatamrit, you must have seen that famous picture Have you seen that famous picture when Gop Kumar returns back to Golok Vrindavan, how Krishna embraces him? Have you seen that picture? How many of you have seen that picture? Very famous picture, right? Krishna welcoming Gop Kumar to Golok Vrindavan. And Krishna faints after that. In Brihad Bhagavatamrita, if you read, Krishna faints. Because he was so much in ecstasy that my dear friend, for so long, I was missing him. He had left me and gone to this material, but now he has come back. So Krishna welcomes him. And he faints. And then Balaram and all the other cowherd boys, they came close to Krishna. They chanted glories of his devotees. And slowly Krishna came back to his consciousness. So Krishna is so eager for us to return back to his own abode. But unfortunately, we don't have that eagerness. But of course, the devotees sitting here, you of course have some eagerness, otherwise you wouldn't have come here. But now, the problem is that once we start practicing Krishna consciousness, we lose our initial enthusiasm. Initially, we are very enthusiastic, right? When we come newly to this movement. But gradually, we lose our enthusiasm. So let's maintain our enthusiasm. And how that comes? By reading, by hearing regularly. We can maintain our enthusiasm in bhakti. So these pastimes, when we hear, we read, so we should again become eager. We should revive our eagerness. Should become more and more eager. That I also want to associate with Krishna in his wonderful pastimes. I also want to go back home, back to Godhead. So that eagerness should come within us by hearing and reading these pastimes. So this is a wonderful pastime. Hare Krishna. Any questions, any comments?
Krishna is kind and equal to everyone, and some of the demons got to serve as like a mother Yashoda and different things. So why would Krishna kill all of us and we'll realize how wonderful the spiritual world is and not worry about having to stay with our crazy mind and senses?
That's interesting question. That just like Krishna killed Putana and gave her the position of a mother in spiritual world, so why doesn't Krishna, he can kill anyone? See, that's an instance of very special kind of mercy, which we cannot, everyone cannot expect that. It's a very, very rare thing. So Krishna has given us a common part to everyone, that you perform bhakti, you can come back to my own abode. And that's very rare and special case when Krishna is killing demons. So we have to first of all come to that level of a demon. Then only Krishna will kill us. Krishna will not kill us tiny demons like us. So it's not easy to become a demon like Agasura or to become a demon like Putana. So much easier to become a devotee rather than aspiring to become such demons and Krishna and expecting Krishna will come to kill us. So much easier to chant Hare Krishna 16 rounds. Assist in Srila Prabhupada's preaching movement, and that's easier way to go back home, back to God.
Everyone can see Agasura at your campus.
Right? Yes.
So if you want to see a pure devotee, Agasura, go to the Guru campus.
Yes, thank you. Nice question, yeah.
Like you mentioned, you have to become a bigger demon. I remember in Thakur Bhaktivinoda's song, Gopinath Mama Devadana Sundam, the first one, at the end he says, Pai no charana asura sakala, vinode thakiva goshi. All the demons have obtained your lotus feet, but me, I, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, is simply waiting and I'm very tired. So please let me be the recipient of your mercy. Even the demons have received it.
Yes.
So that was just the thought.
Yeah, nice, interesting comment. So that's that bhajan, that Gopinath, Mamma Nivedana Suno, that's out of Dainya, that extreme humility of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, where he's praying that, oh Krishna, please be merciful. You are merciful even on demons. So at least be merciful on me. So that's out of extreme humility, he's praying like that. But he doesn't pray that, make me a demon and liberate me. That is not the meaning there. So of course, that's his extreme humility, that I am even more faller than the demons. You are not showing your mercy on me. The devotee feels like that. In Chaitanya Charitamrita it is said,
Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami says that Jagai Madai Hoite Muise Papishtha, Purushira Kit Hoite Muise Laghishtha. In one lecture, Srila Prabhupada in Vrindavan, he is quoting this from Chaitanya Charitamrita, and he says that this is the mood of a Vaishnava. I mean, this to be Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami was not artificially saying that. He was actually feeling that he is so low. So that is actually the state of a pure Vaishnava. He's naturally humble. And so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, out of his natural humility, is praying like that I am more fallen than the demons. Demons also got your mercy, but I am so fallen, I am not getting your mercy. Yes, yes.
It reminds me of chapter 2, verse 47 of the Bhagavad Gita. You have a right to perform yourself beauty, but you're not entitled to the fruits of the action.
Yes.
So all this is, we're doing our duty and we're not entitled to the fruits of the action.
Yes, that's also an interesting point, that when we do bhakti, we don't demand from Krishna anything. So that's why Mahaprabhu says, na dhanam, na janam, na sundarim, kavitam va jagadishe kamae, mama janmani janmanishvare bhavatat bhakti rahitukit. So he's saying, even birth after birth, that means a devotee does not even demand to Krishna that, no, you must take me back to home, back to Godhead after this life. No, he says, up to you, you know, I just simply want to serve you. It's up to you whether you want me to take back to your board or you want me to be in this material world, doesn't matter. So that's the mood of a devotee. Yes, thank you. Yes, Mataji at the back. Okay, one devotee here and then Mataji. Yes, thank you.
Thank you, Prabhu, for the wonderful class. I was just thinking about what Prabhu said about 2.47. Perhaps it doesn't apply that much. Like Srila Prabhupada was apparently struggling to establish Radharas Vihari temple. And at one point the threshold occurs and Prabhupada tells Krishna, please cooperate, I want to build a nice temple for you.
Right.
So the spiritual desires, they become intense.
Yes.
And as the intensity grows, the devotee becomes more and more earnest in pushing Krishna to fulfill. So yes, for material desires, perhaps 2.47 would apply. But in the case of spiritual desires, I mean, there are so many cases. Samudra Sen in Mayapur, he fought with Bhima only for one reason. That if I defeat Bhima, Krishna won't tolerate, so Krishna would come and give me darshan. So devotees are, you know, so romantic. Krishnadev, Samudra Sen, and many more. In this also, even Varundev for that matter. So for spiritual desires, I think the game is with Yogamaya, it's completely different. It's just a viewpoint.
Yes, you are right, Prabhu. That 2.47 is for the conditioned souls, that when they do activities, they should not bother about the results. But for devotees, such things, they are a different plane altogether. Yeah, thank you. Yes, Madhaji at the back. Let's say, yeah.
Hare Krishna.
Yes.
I was just trying to understand, maybe you explained and I didn't manage to catch. It says in the end of the purport that apart from the double meaning obviously present in this verse, and I think maybe you touched on it, but would you mind just elaborating how was this verse holding a double meaning? I think he's talking about the materialistic people and also the liberated souls. I just wanted to make sure I didn't misunderstand.
Yes, Mataji, good point. So this verse, so actually I didn't touch upon that. Maybe we can just few minutes just to read this. So just like in many verses in Bhagavatam, it has double meaning. Like for example, when Indra is blaspheming Krishna, so there's another meaning. The same verse, it can actually be interpreted as if it's glorifying Krishna. So like that, there are many verses of Bhagavatam with double meaning. The 13th verse, so as I said, this verse can also apply to a conditioned soul, that they're foolishly wandering from one universe to another universe, they don't realize my greatness. Similarly, the other meaning of this, we'll just take a few minutes and read this.
It's in the last paragraph.
Yeah. I was looking at... So the other meaning is that the Brajvasis, who are also wandering in the various forests of Vrindavan, so they don't know
that they're actually my dearest devotees and they'll also attain the spiritual world. So in that sense, Krishna is saying this. So there is, just let me read the exact thing. Yes. So, all the desires and actions of my father and the Brajvasis are solely dedicated for my pleasure. Seeing me as a helpless child, they are completely unaware that I am the supreme god of all the universes. Wandering in this land of Vrindavan, they have no knowledge of the higher destinations. In this way, the Brajvasis are completely unaware of their own exalted positions as my eternal associates in Vrindavan Dham, which is rarely achieved by others. So in that sense, like Yogamaya and Mahamaya, so people in this condition, in this material world, we are ignorant of the spiritual world because of Mahamaya's covering. But here the Brajvasis are covered by Yogamaya and they are not aware that they are going back to Golok Vrindavan. So Krishna wanted to also tell them that don't worry, you are already in Vrindavan and I am taking you also back with me to Vrindavan. Is it clear?
Yes, wonderful.
Okay.
Guru, I have another question from the purport. It said that it should be remembered that the entire purpose of Krishna's descent into this world is to attract living beings back home.
Yes.
The two things. He displays his pastimes, display the beauty of spiritual perfection, and that somehow seem relevant and hence interesting to the conditioned souls.
Yes.
So my question is, Prabhuji, if you can throw some light on this. Sometimes when people are actually only attracted to the impersonal side, so, you know, they're impersonalists, they know there's a supreme, he's, you know, all powerful, he's present everywhere. How can we help them? I have a family member, my own uncle, who is like that. And I fail to, whenever we meet a little, I fail to try to attract him to Krishna's beauty. Like if I tell him, well, you know, Krishna will have this cake, he's eating the cake or something, he said, really? You know, Krishna eats a cake also?
Yeah.
So how can I actually, for anybody, to help somebody who's not a personalist, but they're impersonalists, how can we, what can we do to help them?
Yes, a very good question. Sometimes those are impersonalists, it's very difficult to convince them. So we can try our best by talking to them about philosophy. Now, if they are like little logical, open-minded, if we present our philosophy nicely, like 12th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna himself is saying, when Arjuna asks the question, who is better, your devotee or the impersonalist? So Krishna answers that my devotee is better. There's so many other discussions from our scriptures, discussion between Mahaprabhu and Sarvam Bhattacharya, where he convinces Sarvam Bhattacharya that Krishna is a person. We can talk all that, but beyond a certain point, we can't do much, you know, because if they're hardcore impersonalist, it's very difficult. Just give them prasadam. And gradually, you know, sometimes gulab jamuns. Prabhuji is saying yes. Give a lot of gulab jamuns and pray to Krishna that they may change. Yeah. Thank you. Yes, Madhuji.
Thank you. Thank you so much for showing the vision of the Vajrasi and Krishna continuously. I would like to know the schedule of a person who is very absorbed. You spoke about the schedule of the saint as well. Who is always absorbed, what is he doing?
Yeah, I talk about briefly about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's schedule, that because he also stayed in Naktur Ghat when he was in Vrindavan, so every day morning he used to come from there to Imlitala and chant his rounds till afternoon, till noon time, and then go back for prasad, and in the afternoon and in the evening he used to preach to people in general and do kirtan. So I said that's an ideal example of a sannyasi, that how he should do his own bhajan, his own chanting and reading and also preach. So Mahaprabhu himself showed by his own personal example that how we should balance both the aspects, our own sadhana and our preaching. Yes, that was my point. Okay, thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. No, it's all.